950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Before we get into the news of the day, we're actually going to join a news conference that is in progress right now. George Floyd's family is currently holding a press conference this afternoon where they are going to announce the findings of an independent autopsy. I believe their attorney is conducting this news conference, so we're going to go ahead and join that in progress.
For peace, taking a breath for our country, but more importantly, taking a breath for George, since he didn't get the opportunity to take a breath. For George Floyd, the ambulance was his hearse. Beyond question, he would be alive today if not for the pressure applied to his neck by fired officer Derek Chauvin and the strain on his body from the two additional officers kneeing him in his back. What we know is that George was living, breathing, talking, until we see those officers restrain him while he's face down in handcuffs, with Officer Chauvin having his knee lodged into his neck for over 8 minutes, almost 9 minutes, and the other officer having both his knees lodged into his back. And the doctors will explain the significance of that as to the cause and manner of death. On behalf of the family, we understand the righteous anger we are seeing play out on our streets across the country. We support the activism and energy of the people who want to make sure we achieve change, and we hope these efforts continue. But the violence is absolutely unacceptable. They're unacceptable.
Just a quick heads up, we are listening to the press conference of George Floyd's family. This is his attorney speaking right now about the independent autopsy they just conducted. The main finding was that death was caused by homicide, which was caused by asphyxia due to neck and back compression that led to a lack of blood flow to the brain. Again, George Floyd's death was homicide caused by asphyxia due to neck and back compression that led to lack of blood flow to the brain. That is according to the independent autopsy conducted by the attorney of George Floyd's family. We're going to go ahead and rejoin that news conference now.
Was essentially a hearse for George Floyd, because based on all apparent evidence, George was dead on that scene. The medics, based on the EMT report that we have in our possession, performed pulse checks several times, finding none, and delivered one shock by their monitor. But George's condition did not change. They delivered him to the hospital, continuing ventilation, but their last report was the patient was still pulseless. The ambulance was the hearse. At this time, you will hear from my co-counsel, attorney Tony Romanucci, who is going to talk about some of the legal culpable aspects of this matter, and then we will get to the findings. Attorney Romanucci.
There's just changing
speakers. Good afternoon, everybody. Ben, Drs. Wilson and Dr. Bodden, thank you very much. And it is my honor to be one of the attorneys representing the family of George Floyd. Make no mistake about it, this case is about the Minneapolis Police Department and Derek Chauvin and the shameless standby police officers who were on scene, who had every opportunity to stop and prevent a senseless death, a needless one. They were compliant with Officer Chauvin, who had his knee on George's neck. This was a brutal and public display of an 8-minute prolonged death. This was the lowest level of human respect and dignity that any community should ever have to endure. What this really was the weight of the Minneapolis Police Department on George's neck. And what you're going to hear from the doctors is that there were two actual physical mechanisms that were in place that caused George Floyd's death. As Ben alluded to, not only was the knee on George's neck a cause of his death, but so was the weight of the other two police officers on his back, who not only prevented blood flow into his brain, but also airflow into his lungs. That makes all of those officers on scene criminally liable and without a doubt civilly responsible. Had the Minnesota Police Department instituted the reforms it promised it would when it came to chokeholds and restraints, George would be alive. That's because the Minnesota Police Department, through its custom practices and policies, failed to train its police officers, failed to discipline police officers like Officer Chauvin, kept them there, kept them on scene, kept them on the police department. The Minneapolis Police Department promised that it would train its police officers on chokeholds and restraints. It promised that back as long as 2013, and it failed to do it. What you see on the video is exactly what happened. Those police officers were the proximate cause of George Floyd's death. And that's what you're going to hear in medical terminology from the doctors who will speak after me. This represents extreme and systemic failures on the part of the Minneapolis Police Departments. Opportunities not only that they had on the day that this happened, but for years and years to eliminate the institutional bias and racism against people of color. George Floyd was pronounced guilty before they even knew what he did. He was a non-violent offender. From what we know, it was a $20 counterfeit bill. And what did we see take place? You saw in action the blue shield. That police officer who stood in front and watched while the other three police officers held him down, he's culpable too. That's the blue shield in action. There was no prevention on anyone's part to save George's life. Sometime tomorrow, you're also going to hear from a brave man, one of the witnesses who was on scene. He's going to speak to you also. He's going to speak to you because he was within feet of what was happening. He watched the public execution unfold because those officers knew that by continuing to restrain and choke, that they could end a life. A grade school child understands the basics that if you continue to choke a human being, that you will end a life. This brave young man will speak to you tomorrow about what he saw, about George, about what he was feeling, as he knew he was dying, calling for his mother. Make no mistake, as I said earlier, this is not only about Officer Chauvin and those police officers. This is about the Minneapolis Police Department and its policies. Ladies and gentlemen, this death will not be in vain. There will be permanent and lifelong lasting change as a result of George's death. We will not let that go unescaped. Thank you.
And we're listening to a live press conference from the attorneys of George Floyd's family. The big thing they found from their independent autopsy was that Floyd died by asphyxia due to neck and back compression that led to a lack of blood flow to the brain. And also, the attorney said, physical acts by other officers caused Floyd's death. We're going to stick with this for a few more minutes.
It is imperative that we understand, as we all demand justice, that we have to look not only at the video that tells us in common sense what happened, but that we apply that with the forensic science, because it's critical. And one should not suggest that we didn't see what we saw, and what we saw should be consistent with what the science purports. As Attorney Romanucci and I have said, the ambulance was a hearse. Why was this? Because not only the knee to his neck, but also the knees to his back that compressed his lungs and frustrated them from being able to contract to take air in and out. So even if there's an opinion that there was no harm to his trachea.
Again, you've been listening to a press conference with George Floyd's family's attorneys that they've hired. They just had that independent autopsy, and they are talking about some of the findings. Hopefully, we'll be getting word from the doctors. I believe one of the attorneys said that they should be having the doctors speak in a little bit. So we'll keep you updated on that. We'll also have more news of the day regarding what's happening in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd. So stick with us here on FYI Politics.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style, Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 5. You know, we're all sitting at home right now, and chances are you've noticed a thing or two that you wish you could change. Well, the Habitation Design staff is here to help. Right now, we're offering free virtual interior design services. It works like this. You guys are home, we're all at home. Let's schedule a virtual walkthrough of your space. Using FaceTime, Zoom, or Skype, one of our degreed professional interior designers will take a look, tell you precisely how to measure your room, then provide you with specific product recommendations, a design plan, and everything you need to make your space beautiful and functional. So we've all got the time. Why don't we take advantage of it? Call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548 and schedule your virtual design appointment today.
Minuteman Press Uptown is the only minority-owned union print shop in the state, and they truly believe that a rising tide lifts all ships. Minuteman Press has created the Bounce Back USA campaign to help the community and local economy through the pandemic. Bounce Back USA is a free platform from Minuteman Press that serves two purposes, safety and stimulus. With safety first, they're distributing COVID-19 awareness and prevention posters at no charge to any business in their service area. Minuteman Press Uptown is also providing free local advertising on BounceBackUSA.com to stimulate business and help all of our neighbors. So post your company message to stimulate your own economy on their totally free marketing platform at BounceBackUSA.com. You can design your own ad or just type the message and upload your logo. Minuteman Press Uptown's experts with 100-plus years of industry experience will take it from there. That's Minuteman Press Uptown, still open and printing everything, and committed to helping the local economy through BounceBackUSA.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're going to rejoin that press conference. It's the attorneys of the George Floyd family talking about their independent autopsy results. Right now, I believe we do have one of the doctors speaking, so we'll join that press conference already in progress.
I think the doctor actually just stepped down. It looks like Ben Crump's coming up, but
okay.
We'll jump to them.
I heard her a little bit because we had this in queue. In fact, let's actually hold off on bringing that on. We'll try to report this throughout the show during the breaks. I'll follow along with some of the different media organizations. But the big thing that they did release was that the death, according to their autopsy, was caused by asphyxia. And then it sounded like, of course, and this really shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, that there were also contributing factors from the other two officers who were holding down George Floyd. So, yeah, in essence, it's not a huge surprise. I think pretty much anyone who saw that video, well, saw exactly what they saw. He died on the scene. There's really no question about that. So that's largely what the autopsy report is saying from the George Floyd family. And coming up during the next break, I'll try to follow along and see if we can get you the exact wording that they used. But we'll have a lot more on this.
And two, I think it's important to note that it's the doctor they have is the head of, I think, University of Michigan, he had said, of the autopsy over there.
So yeah, one of those departments, right.
It's not just some random person off the street. It's a highly trained expert.
Yeah, they're not pulling in Dr. Nick from The Simpsons or anything. They're using real doctors with this, you know, real qualified doctors. Very important to point out.
It looks like they have Dr. Michael Baden on right now.
Yeah, let's jump into that right now.
Contributed to his death. This is confirmed by information provided to Dr. Wilson and myself from the family. He was in good health. The compressive pressure of the neck and back are not seen at autopsy because the pressure has been released by the time the body comes to the medical examiner's office. It can only be seen serious compressive pressure on the neck and back can only be seen while the pressure is being applied or when, as in this instance, it is captured on video. And in this instance, we can see after a little bit less than 4 minutes that Mr. Floyd is motionless, lifeless, and when the EMS arrive and put him on the stretcher without any CPR at that time, during the ambulance trip, he did not respond to CPR and did not respond to cardiac shock. The cause of death, in my opinion, is asphyxia due to compression of the neck, which, as Mr. Crump indicated, can interfere with blood flow and oxygen going to the brain, and compression of the back, which interferes with breathing. When he said, "I can't breathe," unfortunately, many police are under the impression if you can talk, that means you're breathing. That is not true. I am talking and talking and talking and not breathing in front of you. So the concept that a person says, I can't breathe, like Mr. Garner, like in this instance, means you should take it seriously. And I think that I've finished. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bodden. And again, to you and Dr. Wilson, on behalf of the George family.
Again, that's the press conference that the attorneys of George Floyd's family are holding right now, talking about their independent autopsy reports. And as you just heard, the previous doctor talking about death was caused by asphyxia. And then, of course, there were other contributing factors from the other two officers that were holding down George Floyd. Many more updates are likely to come in regards to this story, and we'll keep you up to date on those here on AM 950. I think we'll leave the news conference now and start talking about more of what's been happening in Minnesota with the protests and also the police response to that. So give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, pointing that out since we do have open phone lines for the rest of the hour. Didn't get a chance to really introduce him, but we have Sam Turnberg on the other side of the production glass for today. Now, Sam, you live not too far from the area where George Floyd was murdered, like I think you said, a couple miles away, but you've been able to certainly get some firsthand accounts of what's been happening down in that area in terms of the protests, the riots, and then also the police response in regards to what's happening. So we'll talk to Sam in just a second as we're getting a few phone calls right now. Sam also was part of the protest that was on 35W. Sam specifically didn't go on the freeway, but he was part of the protest that was about to go on there, so he can also share some information about what he experienced. Now, of course, what you probably saw yesterday was that there was a large group of protesters, several thousand people that were marching on 35W towards downtown Minneapolis to protest what happened. And unfortunately, there was a semi-truck that ended up barreling towards the protesters. If you happen to see this on live TV, it was very, very shocking and very, very terrifying to see, since you bring back images of what happened in other places in the world where people have used trucks and cars and other vehicles as weapons to ram into people. Now, fortunately, somehow, and I still have no idea how, nobody was hurt from this incident besides the driver, but we do have some updates on what happened with this driver. This is according to the Minnesota Department of Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington. He says they don't have any information that makes this seem like it was an intentional act. He says the tanker truck was already on the freeway when the closures had started. No fuel was in the tank. The driver was speeding, saw the crowd, and then panicked. And Governor Tim Walz said he did something really stupid. Going back to no fuel in the tank, I'm thinking they're talking about like the tanker part of the truck, not the actual like gas that they use to move the truck like you would typically have in a car. But as I looked at this more, if you could kind of see where this guy was approaching from, there was a little bit of a hill, so it is conceivable that maybe he didn't see the protesters, and then you had the fact that the road wasn't even really blocked off all that well, so I could maybe somewhat see this as being that maybe this guy really did make an innocent mistake. He wasn't able to see the protesters. The other aspect that I've heard from a lot of people that are I've heard a couple people who are truck drivers say this, is that when you have semis that are this large, you can't just go and stop those on a dime like you do with the typical car. So remains to be seen. I think they're still continuing to investigate this, but at least according to the Department of Public Safety Commissioner Harrington, he says that they don't think this was an intentional act, and Governor Tim Walz is saying the same thing. Now, Sam, you were near this area. As I said, you weren't specifically on 35W. You were close to the area, but what are your thoughts?
As someone who's like driven that stretch of road like my whole life, and having watched the video and knowing that it does take trucks quite a while to stop, I don't think he necessarily wanted to run over a crowd of protesters. I don't think it's almost as clear as it. Sorry, I'm a little bit at a loss trying to figure out exactly.
Yeah,
what
you know,
because I don't think he's intentionally trying to run over. But there's no way that coming around that stretch, you can see it despite Hill or not. There's cop cars barricading it, and he's aware that there's protests happening. Now he might not know what's happening exactly there, but he knows he's driving into the thick of it based on text messages he sent, and it's just. I think that he was just being dumb, trying to be like, I'm going to go intimidate these protesters, and realized how stupid that was when he got out there. But even if he had started his stop from the police barricade, which he could have seen from much, again, it's not like he just came around a corner, a real sharp corner. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sit right with me at all. This is no accident.
Maybe I'm giving him a little bit too much of the benefit of the doubt, because I just come at it from the angle that if he really wanted to hurt a whole lot of people, he wouldn't have slammed on his brakes at all. But I can see where you're coming from, too, where maybe at the last second he panicked and realized, this is a really stupid idea. I'm going to end up getting killed or getting sent to prison for life.
Because I've talked to a lot of people in my – well, not even talked. I've been pretty upset with them where they sit there and say, oh, somebody should run him over. And I believe that he probably had that same mentality and went out and realized that this is stupid. This because, again, there was a pretty clear police barricade. It wasn't – he had such a long stretch of stop even after the police barricade, semi-truck or not. Like, I don't drive semi-trucks myself, but I do deliver pizza. I'm out on the roads – 5 days a week with semi-truck drivers, I've had to slam my brakes for accidents and for such, and I've seen semi-truck drivers in my rearview mirror stop much, 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 much quicker than that very long stretch he had.
Okay. Hey, we're going to go to the phone lines. Let's get to John in Minneapolis real quick. John, what are your thoughts on today?
Well, I'm disgusted, like a lot of people are, and I just cannot believe that any person who is in an elected position of leadership is not denouncing and requiring the immediate resignation of Mike Freeman. Mike Freeman.
Well, there's a lot of people that need to resign, but keep going, John. Yes.
Maliciously, intentionally took no action, and the excuses that he has claimed are not law, have nothing to do with the law, and have nothing to do with justice. And justice delayed, in this case, Mike Freeman is the 100% responsible for burning down half of South Minneapolis. He had a job to do, and his duty is to act in the interest of the public and public safety. And for him to try to claim that he didn't know that there was going to be a significant reaction to this given the video. I mean, in my view, he should be arrested. He should be charged with inciting a riot, hate crimes, and everything else in the book. But I just can't believe anybody, including Mayor Fry and Governor Walz, they should be denouncing him. They should be asking for him to resign immediately. And so should Keith Ellison. And Keith Ellison the other day called Mike Freeman his friend. They're not handling this well in any respect. They're not listening to what needs to happen, and they're not doing what needs to happen for justice to happen. It's just sickening. And Governor Walz and Mayor Jacob Fry, and they are accountable, and so is Keith Ellison. And you know, there should be announcement of charges. Keith Ellison should announce the charge and arrest of all three of those officers today. He should ask for the resignation of Mike Freeman at the very least. And you know, that's the only way they're going to quell the energy or reduce it at least to a level where, you know, I mean, I abhor all the violence, but I want to know, why were none of the arsonists caught and arrested?
All right. Hey, John, we got to wrap up here since we're running late on our break, but do appreciate that phone call. And we'll get to that. We're going to speak a little bit more about this, how, yeah, it seems like the arsonists and the people who were looting and doing other sorts of bad actions, those are the people who largely didn't seem to be getting the attention of police officers and the National Guard. So we got lots more to talk about, and John was alluding to this on that last phone call, people who need to resign. One of those people is certainly Bob Kroll, and we're going to talk about him more up next as well. So still lots more left on the show, even only on the got about, like, what, 18 minutes of content left, so still lots to cover, and stick with us here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP, 612-333-SNAP.
And the glow from that fire can truly light the world.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your internet marketing can do for you, but what you can do for your marketing.
Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. Coronavirus has challenged every small business owner. What you can do for your internet marketing today will likely determine how your business pivots and recalibrates to find and retain new customers online. Social Media MN offers uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions. Call us today for a hassle-free consultation at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
AM 950 weather. I'm Patrick Lilia. Sunny and a high of 75 for Sunday, dropping down to 63 Sunday night with a slight chance of rain.
Make the most of your time at home with a new gas, pellet, or charcoal grill from Warner's Stellion. Buy online, by phone, or in store. Plus, enjoy free assembly, contact-free delivery, and free haul away. Grill buying is safe and easy with the specialists at Warner's Stellion.
We're back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. We're going to get to Bob Kroll in just a minute because he sent a pretty atrocious letter out to his fellow members that caught the attention of former Minneapolis Police Chief Janae Harto. She ended up posting this letter, and it's 1,000 pounds of ugliness. What else would we expect from the head of the Minneapolis Police Union, Bob Kroll? We'll talk about that in just a couple of seconds. But first, I got to go to Mark in Fridley, who looks like he was down on the 35W bridge when this truck ended up approaching and, well, barreling towards those protesters. So let's go to Mark. So, Mark, you were down on that bridge, it sounds like, correct?
Yep, I was. And what we need to make certain we do now is make sure that the main thing stays the main thing. I was at the Lake Street cleanup, and it was a wonderful event. It was peaceful. It was people, neighbors helping neighbors, people helping people. There were children. Everybody was down there. It was great. And then I saw the National Guard start to approach. I was leaving. I was leaving at 5:30, and I got onto Hiawatha heading north. No problem. No blockade, no barricade. I got onto Hiawatha, drove across Lake Street, headed toward 35W. No blockade, no barricade, no cops in sight. I got on the off-ramp onto 35W. No blockade, no barricade. And this was at 5:45, just as this was happening. Then I rounded the curve it's like a 90-degree angle, and you start heading north. I was two blocks away from the bridge when I saw everybody in front of me slam on their brakes. And then I started seeing people on bicycles first, you know, coming down me toward from the north on 35W, heading south in a panic. And then I saw a mass of humanity running at me in a panic. Then I saw a bunch of utilitarian law enforcement vehicles, Explorers, Humvees, white Sprinter vans, headed toward the bridge. And we were instructed, and again, I was surrounded by four semis. So there was no blockade. There was no barricade on the bridge at that time. It was non-existent. I missed this thing by, you know, a minute. And it happened right in front of me. And all they need to do is every square foot of that freeway is covered by surveillance cameras.
And yeah, most definitely.
How did this truck get through? And when things don't add up, it's because the truth is never part of the equation. Mike Freeman deserves to be fired. Mike Freeman deserves to be charged with felony crimes, color of deprivation of rights, color of law, misprison of treason, misprison of felony, because the previous caller was absolutely right. If you were going by the book, how to create chaos, how to create riots, you would do everything Mike Freeman did this week, and you would go back to Philando Castillo and do the same thing. When you went on national television and made a supposition that there was perhaps exonerating evidence, exculpatory evidence that was going to exonerate these police, if you believe that, you were a moron. But what that did is that's pouring gas on the fire. When he came back, you know, repeatedly and was making excuses, he was pouring fire on this problem. He created this problem. When you have people, obviously, like the Umbrella Man, who was in the crowd, and I used to be associated with this. I know how this stuff works. Now, I've been told that this guy, the Umbrella Man, was taken into custody. I'm not going to release his name at this point in time because I don't have enough information. But anybody that does a five-second internet search can find out, you know, what this was. But reports are that he's been taken into custody, and reports are that his ex-wife...
Can I just interrupt you? By custody of who? Who's taken him into custody?
We were told that he was arrested.
But arrested by the police, okay.
Whether that was the FBI or the Minneapolis Police Department... And the subject we are talking about happens to also be a St. Paul law enforcement officer.
Yeah, and as you said, yeah, do a five-second search and you can find who we might be alluding to, right?
Right. And so these things on top of each other, what you need to do, like I said, I was there. What also happened immediately at the time at 5:45 when the crowd came through, I tried to make a cell phone call, and all the phones were dead. So they used a device to kill the cell towers, and to deactivate people's cell phone from. And again, I mean that's a tactical thing because perhaps they didn't want the protesters, which were peaceful, by the way, communicating amongst themselves, but. All of these events, and anybody that just takes a breath and looks back at it, and you say, who benefits from this? And what was the true purpose of this? Now, perhaps what I would is that, people had COVID-19 fatigue. And, this is what they need to take this to the next level. But these types of things are common occurrences. American citizens should know by now that the Vietnam War was a government false flag.
Got about just a few more seconds here, Mark.
Right, right. So how our country goes to war is typically in this fashion, except this time we're going to war against ourselves.
Yeah. All right, Mark, I appreciate the phone call. We'll have to leave it there. And, yeah, thanks for the information. And just I thought he made a great point there about Mike Freeman in that press conference he gave last week, where Freeman initially said that there is other evidence that may support not having criminal charges being brought against the four officers. And anyone that saw the video, not just that full 10-minute video, but even the surveillance video from one of the stores from a few minutes earlier, which showed what wasn't included on that 10-minute video that's widely being circulated, shows that Floyd was not resisting arrest whatsoever. So there really was no evidence showing that he was resisting arrest, or there was no evidence that would somehow exonerate the officer. So I think Mark is definitely onto something there, that maybe it is a way to add fuel to the fire. I mean, the best case scenario that you could say under that circumstance with Freeman on that press conference last week is that he's either grossly incompetent by making a statement like that, or, as Mark alluded to, and I think our other caller before him, John, was saying that, yeah, it might just be adding fuel to the fire. Either way, it's one of those two things, and neither of those are good. It's either incompetence or adding fuel to the fire. We're going to take our final break and come on back. We're going to talk about Bob Kroll and the letter that was released today and a few more other stories as well. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com. During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
And we're back on the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Good advice that was just called in. If you see something, say something. So do appreciate that. I think it was Mark that called back and made that comment. So before we get into Bob Kroll, and Matt's going to, I'm sure, have a lot more on him in the next hour, I do briefly want to touch on this, Sam. I know you were talking about your experience as being part of the protesters, some firsthand accounts of just seeing how police, for the most part, were largely using their tear gas and their rubber bullets on protesters instead of the people who were out there causing arson. And of course, if you watch many of the live streams, not necessarily the major media outlets in town, whether it's 4, 5, 9, or 11, if you watch some of those independent feeds like Unicorn Riot or others out there, you can see this too, where you have police that are specifically targeting members of the media or shooting at people that have their hands up in the air indiscriminately. And you said you've been part of this as well, being tear gassed yourself, correct?
Yeah, I was out a lot more often in the first few days before the entire all of Lake Street basically went down. But those first few days before there was any rioting, before there was any looting, anything, and it was just whole crowds of protesters out in front of the precinct, they were very liberally using tear gas and shooting rubber bullets at myself, part of the crowd. I know I wasn't looting or burning anything,
right.
And it's my neighborhood, the neighborhood right next to the one that my house is in,
And yeah, it was, it's not that I don't want to say unbelievable. It feels unbelievable, but I believe it because I know things like Standing Rock happened. And so I'm not surprised, but it definitely, it hits you in a different way when you see it and experience it your firsthand. You're like, I believed it this whole time, but they're still doing it. I don't know how much more peaceful you can get with your hands up and just chanting George Floyd, and then no warning, and out comes the rubber bullets. I know somebody, I didn't personally see it, but somebody in the same crowd later on I found out had got shot in the eye. That person's probably going to have permanent eye damage, if not lose the eye. I know a journalist was shot in the eye as well, and I heard she is going to lose her eye for sure. And these are peaceful protesters. Meanwhile, half the city burns, and we're talking about that, but the police force, the National Guard, the sheriffs, the State Patrol, everybody has just, all of the police force have been pretty out of control.
And the question is, too, who's been causing all of these fires? Who's been out there as arsonists and people who are acting as provocateurs? Because we had earlier this weekend, we had Governor Tim Walz and I believe St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter saying, most people being arrested are from out of town. Now, of course, journalists went and looked into that, and at least in terms of the arrest records, that turned out not necessarily to be the case. But here's what I want to point out with that, though, and I'm not surprised that when you look at arrest records, most people ended up being from Minnesota. And it's for this reason. So to back up for just a second, John Harrington, who I talked about, he's the commissioner of Minnesota Public Safety, has brought up that he's found caches of incendiary devices all over the metro area and in greater Minnesota. They've also found these devices that look like they've been planted 3 to 4 days ago, as long as that amount of time. We've had cars that have been unmarked with no license plate or no vehicle identification numbers being found around town. We've had one of the craziest ones we saw was that there was this truck pulled over in Bloomington, and the guy got out and lit his car on fire and then ended up running away. This was, where's the exact story on this? Yeah, this is just a crazy story where someone flamed like three. I'll see if I can find. Yeah, here we go. Harrington says that at a Bloomington traffic stop, a driver got out of the car, doused the car with gas, and tried to light it on fire. So here's what I'm bringing up. Here's why I'm bringing up this point right here, is that when you hear that, well, most people technically were arrested from Minnesota. Think about it in this way. People that are out there protesting and are angry about the situation, their primary motivation is not necessarily to avoid arrest. They're expressing their frustration. They're expressing their anger at the system. While if you look at people who are out there as agent provocateurs who might be putting out these incendiary devices, they come in with a game plan on how they're going to plant their devices and how they're going to try to evade the detection of authorities. That's what I think is important to point out when people just judge who's causing this by arrest records. That's not a good way to gauge exactly what's happening. Because again, if you look at protesters, their primary motivation is to express their frustration at what's happening. While if you look at people who are acting as agent provocateurs, their main focus is causing as much destruction and trying to get out of town without getting caught. Those are their primary motivations. So when you go and look at these arrest records and see, well, oh yeah, most people technically being arrested are from Minnesota, I think that's an aspect being missed, that some of these guys who are those agent provocateurs, they are very, very sophisticated at what they do. In fact, we'll be having an interview with this from a guy from, I believe, Vice a little bit later on this week that's been tracking white supremacist groups that have been trying to have a race war for years and years, and they're looking at Minnesota as being a perfect breeding ground for that situation where you have, as Sam, you were saying, lawlessness around town where the police aren't going out there and protecting communities. You have people burning down buildings without any consequence whatsoever. And if you look at that, that is a perfect breeding ground to start a race war. So keep that in mind when you hear this talk about arrest records and how most people are from Minnesota. I think that kind of misses the point. All right, we got to get to Bob Kroll. He didn't release this letter. It looked like it was picked up by former Minneapolis Police Chief Janae Harteau, who is no longer the police chief. She was able to intercept this letter that the head of the Minneapolis Police Union, Bob Kroll, released to his members. Now, for those people who might not be familiar with Bob Kroll, this is a guy whose greatest hits include calling Black Lives Matter people terrorists, also challenging constituents to fistfights on multiple occasions, both in person and in social media. He's also been accused of being part of a biker gang that includes having a jacket with a white power patch, and he's been a part of 20 internal affairs complaints. That is the greatest hits for Bob Kroll, the head of the Minneapolis Police Union.
I wish someone would take him up on that fist fight challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, both those instances. One was on Facebook where someone commented on a post he made, or I think they sent him a direct message and he challenged him to a fist fight. One actually did occur in person where there was a person who was a member of a Jewish activism group who wanted to talk to Bob Kroll and express their concern that Kroll went to a Trump rally. And at the end, the activist ended up calling Kroll a name we can't say on the radio. I'll leave it that way. And Kroll apparently got right up in his face and challenged him to a fight. And the activist said, well, Kroll's a much bigger guy, so of course I'm not going to take him up on that offer. But just think about that for a second, that you have a police chief challenging people to, like, fist fights. You would think you would want someone in law enforcement that has a much cooler head and doesn't act on emotion. So I only got like 2 minutes left on the show. So here's the gist of the letter that was written by Bob Kroll. Well, first up, he calls the people who are out protesting terrorists. Oh, that's nice. And then we have this in here. This is the really, really interesting part. So I'm going to read this one paragraph of the letter. This is, again, the letter from Bob Kroll. When the critical incident took place, the Federation released a brief statement. It was clear, concise, and covered all angles. I will attach that to this email. Part of the reason myself and your board have been absent is like you, we have been simply overworked and overwhelmed. I'm going to skip ahead a few parts, but here's here's an important part. I gave a detailed plan of action, including a range of 2,000 to 3,000 National Guard, their deployment allocations throughout the city of St. Paul and in Minneapolis, in a phone meeting with Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka. The Senate was going to try and run actions that the governor displayed he is clearly incompetent to do. So keep in mind what I read right there. Apparently, this guy, Bob Kroll, was trying to work with the Senate Majority Leader, Paul Gazelka, to go behind the governor's back and to go behind the police chief's back and go behind the mayor of Minneapolis, St. Paul's back. That is massive insubordination. That is hugely concerning if you have a police union head working with a member of the state Senate and trying to set up their own sort of shadow operation to respond to what's happening in Minneapolis. That is not... Wow. That is just unbelievable. I'm sure we'll have much more on this in the next hour. Bob Kroll, again, just someone who, besides Mike Freeman, another guy who needs to just get out of Minnesota. All right, that's all the time I got on my show today. We got Matt McNeil coming up next.